From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome once again to a broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his final message in this series on the law of God, expounding the meaning of the 10th commandment, Thou shalt not covet. As we've seen, this commandment prohibits longing after something God has placed out of bounds, particularly that which belongs to someone else. Dr. Cairns would emphasize that this commandment exhorts us to learn Christian contentment. Happiness does not come from things, but from holiness of life. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. Before he comes, here's a brief selection from C.H. Spurgeon's devotional collection entitled Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled Unstaggering Trustfulness. The text is found in Psalm 112 and verse 7. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. Suspense is dreadful. When we have no news from home, we are apt to grow anxious, and we cannot be persuaded that no news is good news. Faith is the cure for this condition of sadness. The Lord, by His Spirit, settles the mind in holy serenity, and all fear is gone as to the future as well as the present. The fixedness of heart spoken of by the psalmist is to be diligently sought after. It is not believing this or that promise of the Lord, but the general condition of unstaggering trustfulness in our God, the confidence which we have in Him, that He will neither do us ill Himself, nor suffer anyone else to harm us. This constant confidence meets the unknown as well as the known of life. Let the morrow be what it may, our God is the God of tomorrow. Whatever events may have happened, which to us are unknown, our Jehovah is God of the unknown as well as of the known. We are determined to trust the Lord, come what may. If the very worst should happen, our God is still the greatest and best. Therefore will we not fear, though the postman's knock should startle us, or a telegram wake us at midnight. The Lord liveth, and what can His children fear?
Thank you.
From time to time here on Let the Bible Speak, we've called attention to Q&A with Alan Cairns. These are video clips of Dr. Cairns giving biblical answers to a variety of questions. These include such issues as, what is the gospel? Why did Christ have to be virgin-born? How do we know the Bible is the Word of God? What's wrong with same-sex marriage? In all, Dr. Cairns responds to over 50 such concerns. As we've mentioned, all of these video clips have been available on the LTBSradio.com website. Now we're pleased to make available a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy of Q&A with Alan Cairns free of charge simply by requesting it. Just ask for the DVD of Q&A with Alan Cairns. You may email ltbs@freepress.org. That's ltbs@freepress.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Finally, if you wish, you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day.
The law had not only brought Paul to see that to lust was to sin, but listen to this, It brought him to see the terrible power of lust in his own life. In other words, this 10th commandment stripped away the self-righteousness of the Pharisee Saul of Tarsus. This 10th commandment made him look beyond the surface. It made him get the mirror of God's holy word that doesn't show a man merely his face, but shows him his heart. Not as he would like to see it, but as God sees it. It made him, as he stood before the holiness of God and the purity of his law, it made him examine not only his actions, but his secret thoughts, his inmost feelings, the deepest desires of his being, and the motive springs of his heart. The Bible says in Proverbs 24 and 9, the thought of foolishness is sin. We may translate that the lewd thought or the wicked thought. It's sin. The immoral thought. We must be honest that we are living in a society that bombards the mind to induce immoral thinking. This is a country whose engine runs on the gas of immorality. You can turn nowhere. There is not a part of this city that you can go to. There is not a shop that you can visit, but that somewhere along the line you will be bombarded with the inducements of the devil and of the world to immoral thinking. This is the philosophy of the age, that this is good, this is indeed even therapeutic, this is a release, this is healthful and helpful, this is a growing experience. This is what makes you an entire person. And of course, it's not wrong. But God says that the immoral thought or desire may titillate the hidden desire for what God has forbidden, what belongs to another, or what may be ours only by some evil means, may seem like harmless dreaming, but God says it is sin. Indeed, He terms it idolatry. And in the Word of God, He links it with the most heinous wickednesses and crimes of which men are capable. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, you will read, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived." Now here's a list of great crimes. "Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind." The effeminate and the abusers of mankind are descriptions of the Sodomite people and practice. "Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." That's where God places the secret thought or desire of sin. Now, where is the person who can take this 10th commandment in his hand, look at it in all honesty, not drop his head in shame? Where is the man who can take this 10th commandment and say, I thank God I am not as other men? Where is the one who does not stand indicted as a foul and guilty sinner, vile and unclean in the sight of God? This 10th commandment reveals the abysmal depths of our sinful state. Even when we try to clean up our behavior, we're unclean. In the words of Wesley, vile and full of sin I am. Thou art full of grace and truth. This law of God drags out every motion of the soul of man and holds it up to the light of God. And to use the expression of Genesis 6 verse 5, God sees that every imagination of the thoughts of man's heart is only evil continually. Now that's the depth of our depravity. That depravity corrupts our very being. It pollutes everything we say and do. It scars every relationship we have on earth. It desecrates even our holiest attempts to worship God. It bars the road to heaven. And it fits the soul for hell. In the words of a 17th century Dutch theologian, if we measure by the outside, the Pharisee looks like a saint. But if we survey from the inside, the best of saints is worthy of hell. This is a commandment that shows us just how depraved and sinful we really are. But it goes further. For depravity does not lessen responsibility. Our depravity has ruined our ability to establish righteousness by our works before God, but it has not lessened our responsibility. And so therefore the text not only shows us the depth of our depravity, but the extent of our duty. In the light of all that I've said, when it says, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife or thy neighbor's possessions, what the Lord is saying is it's our duty to bring every thought and every affection under the control of the Word of God. It's saying, do not indulge even the thought of sin. When that thought comes, this is the crucial stage, and this is where we lose many a battle. When that thought from some external source is injected into the mind, do not nurse that thought into a desire. That's what God is saying. As I've said, that desire may lead to wicked action, but it may not. But it's still corrupting. Worldly psychologists will argue the point. They see little or no danger in the basest of practices. They even applaud the liberating results of an interest in pornography. You will get some idiotic counselor who will tell a wife that it will actually help her marriage if she just accepts her husband's addiction to pornographic film. God says otherwise. Bring every thought and every affection under the control of God's Spirit and God's Word. Thou shalt not covet. But positively, it means learn Christian contentment in the enjoyment of all that God has given His people in Christ. Think of what He has given us. He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. He has given us, according to Peter, all things that pertain to life and godliness. The Lord Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and of His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Paul therefore could say, "Rejoice in the Lord alway." Because in Christ we have all that we need for life, all that we need for happiness, all that we need for time, all we need for eternity. And here's a great discovery. It's true of everybody. Happiness does not come from things. Happiness does not come from possessions. Happiness does not come from the circumstances that are so attractive to the eyes of the flesh. Happiness comes from holiness. Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy 6:5 and 6 that men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth suppose that gain is godliness. That's the corrupt mind. If I could just get enough money, then I could live right. Can't afford to live right when I'm poor, but I could live right if I were rich. If I could just make a little more, then I'd be content. God says, no, you've got it the wrong way round. Don't ever think that gain will lead to godliness. Gain never leads to godliness. You may be godly after you have gained, but it will either be because you were godly before you gained, or because of grace overcoming in your life after you've gained. But gain in itself will never produce godliness. But godliness with contentment is great gain. That's why he wrote to the Hebrews in chapter 13 and 5, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. Because he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee." Learn Christian contentment in the enjoyment of all God has given you in Christ. It's the Lord Jesus who only is the rich wealth and possession of our soul. It is Christ who is precious to a believing heart. And as we enjoy Him, we will be content.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we let the Bible speak.